Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overduun, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
When you go swimming in a pool or lake, from time to time, you lift your head out of the water to get air. Isn't that true? Another intake of fresh air enables you then to go on. Long-distance swimmers get to their destination again and again, taking in large doses of fresh air as they go along. Well, did you know that going to church is for God's people like getting another dose of fresh air, gospel oxygen, so to speak, to keep on keeping on in the way of faith and the walk of godliness? God gives us the first day of every week especially to worship Him and to draw from His Word, to fill us and enable us too in His ways throughout each and every week again. Often when true Christians, we have to swim against the stream in this modern, fallen, secular, heathen world. And how good when we breathe in deeply the gospel oxygen for strength and energy for the next stretch ahead of us. In that light too, in today's Banner of Truth radio message, I invite you to listen to God's Word with me as found in John 8, verse 12. There we read, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The sermon theme is following Jesus as the light of the world. To encourage and call all of us so to live, indeed, by God's grace, we look at 3 points now on John 8, verse 12. Namely, first, what an amazing gospel statement this is. Second, what an inviting gospel statement this is. And third, what a revitalizing gospel statement this is. The 3 points should be easy to remember, for the first letters of the words, amazing, inviting, and revitalizing, spell the big little word, air. John 8, verse 12, gives us unlimited measure of gospel air to help all not live in darkness and be spreading darkness, but rather to have the light of life and to be light bearers shining brightly in this dark world and the dark times in which we live. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Why would we say this is such an amazing gospel statement? Well, just try to take in what Jesus is claiming here. Jesus is acknowledging we live, in fact, in a world of darkness. The meaning of that is, ever since man's fall into sin with Adam and Eve, as told in Genesis 3, this whole universe and all mankind is plunged in the blindness and ignorance of sin and evil, and not able to see anything rightly. Turning from God and following Satan instead, all of us on our own, as one Reformation confession, the Canons of Dort, also states, well, all of us have brought on ourselves blindness of mind, horrible darkness, vanity, and perverseness of judgment, and we have become thus by nature wicked, rebellious, and obdurate, that is, stubbornly resistant in heart and will against God and His Word, and impure in all our affections. Oh, isn't that indeed our world today, filled with darkness and the foolhardiness of sin and evil? The setting of Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world," also proves the darkness of this world and of all mankind. You see, Jesus spoke these words in the temple, where the religious leaders were blindly and arrogantly, in a self-righteous and wicked manner, rejecting Jesus and wanting even to kill him. Religion and being religious by itself doesn't help remove any darkness in this world if one isn't following and worshiping the one true God, as revealed in the Holy Bible. Most sadly so, much religion and religious activity and so-called religious worship today only adds to and thickens the darkness from man's sin and sinfulness in this world. The solemn reality is, as one put it, the world has now fallen into darkness, and there is no resource, no place, we can say too, no activity of man in this sin-blackened universe that can give man the light he needs. The glory of the gospel is that the light that belongs to God has come into this world of darkness as the hope for us, the one only hope. And now do you want gospel air to breathe in your lungs and hearts? Listen then to this amazing statement of Jesus. I am the light of the world, says Jesus. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Literally, the first part of the saying is, I am the light of the world. And the word world here is the word cosmos in the original, meaning the whole universe and for all people on earth. In a world steeped in the darkness of sin and evil, Jesus is saying he is the one source of light and hope. How can Jesus say this, though? Either he's a madman, thinking himself so great and special above everyone else, another deluded person in our fallen world, or Jesus is indeed most special and, yes, unique in every way. And we know the latter is the case here, dear friends, for sure. You see, Jesus can say, I am the light of the world. And we can say also, the light of the world is Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is in fact the Son of God and the Son of Man in one person come to this world. Jesus is none other than the long-promised Messiah, the seed of the woman, promised to Adam and Eve already. Jesus is God come in the flesh, sent of the Father. He is the one and only mediator between God and man, come to seek and to save sinners like us. As God spoke in the beginning with the creation of this world, let there be light, and there was light, so God in Christ enters the darkness of this sinful world, and in his greater work still of recreation, he brings the divine light of salvation through Christ. Just think of how when Jesus was born, the midnight sky lit up with the light of the angelic host, announcing Jesus' birth and coming, born to save his people from their sins. This reality about Jesus being God come in the flesh comes out very clearly in our text with Jesus saying, I am. In Exodus 3 verse 14, we are told about Jehovah God thus meeting with Moses in the burning bush. How did God then described himself to Moses? We read there, God said to Moses, I am that I am. And thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. We know that whole history and marvelous story of the people of Israel being led from the bondage of Egypt and through the wilderness brought finally into the promised land of Canaan was all a foreshadowing of the greater redeeming work of God. The blessed, merciful plan of God, as told to us in all the Bible, is about God saving his people from their sins and sinfulness and making a way to bring sinners like us to heaven still through Jesus' saving work as crucified and risen Savior of sinners. He leads his people from out of the bondage of sin and evil into the light of the gospel. So Jesus came, you see, as God come in the flesh to save sinners. And most strikingly and wonderfully in the Gospel of John, we have seven sayings of Jesus where he describes himself saying, I am. I am the bread of life, he says. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. Oh yes, Jesus, dear friends, is God come in the flesh, come into this world to serve as Almighty Savior of sinners, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When Jesus says too in our text, I am the light of the world, what he is affirming is that he is the long-promised Messiah indeed. In the book of Isaiah, the Messiah's coming is foretold, like in Isaiah 9 verse 2, where we read, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. And it's pointing to Jesus. Consider also Isaiah 42 verse 6, where speaking of the coming of Christ as God's servant Savior, we hear this prophecy, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. These Old Testament verses also are confirmed when John in his Gospel account in chapter 1 verse 4 to 5 states about Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In that same passage of John 1, we are told about John the Baptist's testimony concerning Jesus, compared to himself, being Jesus' herald just. As verse 7 and 8 tell us of John 1, John the Baptist came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. With Jesus then testifying in our text, I am the light of the world. Clearly he's saying, I am the promised Messiah Savior, the one and only hope for this fallen world, steeped in the darkness of sin and under the curse of God and in bondage to Satan, left on its own. In and through me alone you will find illumination and light in the darkness, and in me alone will you find salvation from sin and everlasting deliverance from all darkness and evil. Do you know, too, how Jesus proved he is the light of the world? Just see him hanging as sin-bearer and substitute for sinners on Calvary's hill. Consider Christ crucified on the cross, paying the full righteous punishment for sin on behalf of his people, while at the same time offering up to God, in the place of his people, the perfect sinless life he lived. Remember, too, then, the thick darkness, even at midday, that took place there on Golgotha, when Jesus was nailed to that cursed tree. There was light at midnight when he was born, and there was darkness at midday when Jesus gave his life a ransom for many on the cross. Jesus, through his perfectly righteous life and by his once-for-all sacrifice for sin on behalf of his people, has accomplished redemption for sinners like us, so that now we may be reconciled to God by grace through Spirit-worked faith in him and received as God's dear adopted children forever, all for Jesus' sake alone. Yes, this is Jesus' gospel promise, as told in John 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. God's people are all those, as Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, who have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you see, too, what an amazing gospel statement this is? Jesus didn't say this as a madman, I am the light of the world. No, but as the promised Messiah, indeed. He didn't say John 8, verse 12, as a deluded person, but as the divinely sent and distinctly equipped deliverer and savior of sinners. Arise, shine, we read thus in prophecy of Jesus in Isaiah 60, verse 1. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Jesus, dear friends, is that promised Redeemer, as described in Malachi 4, verse 2, being the Son of Righteousness, who would arise with healing in his wings. Oh, what an amazing, heart-warming statement, living in this sinful world of gross darkness, with all our hearts by nature full of darkness, too. There is a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He is the light of the world. You can trust Him always to serve as light in your life, too. For listen to what God's Word says in Psalm 36, verse 9. For with Thee is the fountain of life. In Thy light shall we see light. This amazing gospel statement. I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Oh, will you too inhale this amazing gospel fact and reality? Will you receive and believe this gospel truth and live by this gospel word? What other hope is there in this world of darkness in which we are living? Here let us move to our next main point about how John 8 verse 12 is also clearly such an inviting gospel statement. Isn't Jesus in this verse inviting sinners in darkness still, and God's people living in this sin-darkened world yet, ever to come to Him and to trust and follow Him for true light and life? When Jesus says, He that follows me, He means thereby those trusting and obeying Him and His word. You and I can't go through the course of life on our own and expect blessing, following our own ideas or the world's wicked ways. But we are to listen to the Lord and let Him and His word guide us and lead us. You remember how in the wilderness journey the Lord led His people with a cloud, which was a pillar of light for the people, even through the nighttime. We read in Exodus 13, verse 21, And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. As that pillar of light led the Israelites, so Jesus, as the light of the world, leads all who trust and follow Him. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, said Jesus in John 10, verse 27. And isn't this same the earnest, well-meant invitation of Jesus to all people everywhere? Not to follow Him and His word is to be left in the ignorance of sin and to remain lost in the darkness and the misery of sin and this cursed fallen world. How many died in the wilderness journey from Egypt to Canaan because they wouldn't follow the pillar of light? So today, for all who reject Christ and His word, going their own ways instead, will remain in the darkness and die doomed in the blackness of darkness forever, as we are told in the inspired book of Jude, verse 13. Proverbs 4, verse 19 states, The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. But in the verse just before we read, The path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. So John 8, verse 12, dear friends, is Jesus calling to the heathen world of His day and to the religious world in His time, so steeped in the darkness of self-righteousness and blindness to the truth, calling, Come to me, the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Literally, the text reads, He that follows me shall not walk around in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. Are we not living in a day when the darkness of sin and the blindness of evil is, as it were, closing in on us and enveloping us? With modern man openly and increasingly rejecting God and His word, how many are walking in darkness, and God has every reason and right to give us over to our sinful, foolish ways and to leave us in the dark with all the miserable consequences thereof. Are you walking in darkness in any way at all? Come to Jesus. The light of the world is the gospel call. What is your response? Following Jesus is in a verb tense emphasizing wholehearted, steadfast discipleship. It is not just casual hit and miss adherence to Christ or only superficial acquaintance with Him. No, following Him means committing yourselves unreservedly to Him as your only Savior and Lord, and your light in the darkness. Is that what you are doing too, by God's grace? Do you know the very sad but all true words of Scripture in John chapter 3, verse 19 to 21? There we read Jesus saying, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or discovered. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought or done in God." Well, will you live and die following the dreary, deadly pathway of darkness rather than listen to the gospel call? No, dear friends, the gracious invitation of our text as you and I go through life is to come to the light and to live not in the darkness of sin, but in the light of life found in and through the Savior of sinners, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, for whoever trusts and follows Him. Listen then to this amazing gospel word of Jesus in John 8, verse 12, and the inviting gospel word it gives us. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, and in all times of darkness still, breathe the air of John 8, verse 12, and you will persevere victoriously and make it to the other side one day. Saying that, we come now to our third point, yet considering still what revitalizing gospel word our text gives us. Doesn't this come out, especially in the last phrase of the text? Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The light of life is such a rich and full expression that no one can exhaust its meaning. In and through Jesus, we find life, and that more abundantly. John 10, verse 10. "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come," says Jesus, "that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." In Christ, as the light of the world, is infinite fullness of life, and also everlasting life for us. Jesus Christ, says Paul thus in 2 Timothy 1, verse 10, "by his appearing and atoning work of salvation, has abolished death, and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Just like in nature, yes, the light of the sun and the life of all creatures and vegetation is so related, even more in regards to spiritual life and fullness of life and eternal life. That's all related to being connected with Jesus, the light of the world. Think here of God's people in the Bible and in all of history. When we are Christians by God's grace, what vigor of life and hope in life and purpose in life and joy in life and comfort in life and peace in life and zeal for life God's people may have. Even when in the valley of the shadow of death, Christians belonging to Christ may yet have so much promise of fullness of life till our last breath and eternal life in heaven above with our last breath. Amazing. Oh, to have the light of life, dear friends, means having the gospel word of Christ by the Holy Spirit wholly in you, and having Christ and his word always guiding and guarding and upholding you in all your ways. Paul writes thus to the believers in Ephesus in Ephesians 5, verse 8, exhorting, "Ye were sometimes darkness," yes, before your conversion to Christ, he means, "but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Are you walking and living day to day as children of light, having the light of life? Listen here to what John the Apostle writes in 1 John 1, verse 5 to 7, again under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. "This then is the message," he says, "which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin." Well, are you hearing this now? Breathe in this gospel statement of John 8, verse 12, won't you? By God's grace and Spirit, in faith and repentance. Indeed, as often as you breathe for breath in your physical life daily. So you and I can keep going, also spiritually, and thrive and swim even upstream and regardless of storms we encounter. And we will make it to the other shore by and by into eternal light, rather than being cast into everlasting darkness. Oh, even as Christians, we can still sometimes forget to breathe in this gospel air and think we can make a go of it on our own and just following our own ways and not living in humble and steadfast dependency upon the Lord. But how quickly then we fall short and lag back from wholeheartedly seeking and serving the Lord. Isn't that true? How can anyone trust the darkness? Asks one commentator. And it's so true what he asks. There just is no hope and help not following Jesus. But trusting and following him, you won't walk in darkness. And you can have the light of life even in the dark valley of the shadow of death. So Jesus also cried out in John 12, verse 46, proclaiming and promising, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. Oh, again, I say, putting this all together, dear friends, let us each and all breathe in this gospel air, and so by God's grace and Spirit also live as children of light, letting the gospel light shine radiantly in and through our lives to those around us. The more we breathe in, so to speak, this gospel text of John 8, verse 12, the more we will shine as children of light in our present age until our last breath. Yes, even in these dark times that we are in. I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Yes, thus says the Lord Jesus, and his word is most true and reliable, living also in the dark times we do in our 21st century. Don't forget this gospel verse then, will you? And breathe in the gospel air of John 8, verse 12. By God's grace and Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the Internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.